You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
My Greatest Achievement by Saltwater Criminals, a tune that I could not keep gatekept any longer because it's just so fucking good. Like, I no words.
It's addictive, would be how I'd term it. It's that mind earworm that like gets you bitten and then just repeats round and round.
It's that little riff. Shout out to Ruben, aka Scotty, who we will be chatting with up next. This artist needs no introduction, and I'm super excited that I do get to share this cuoreto with you listeners. So here he is now, Ruben from Saltwater Criminals. I'm very envious of everyone that got to hear that on your tour, my friend.
Oh, true. True.
We have Ruben from Saltwater Criminals, aka Scotty. Everyone calls you Scotty, so I thought your name was Scotty for the longest time, but it's actually Ruben I learned today. So kia ora, Ruben.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
You guys just got done, well, Saltwater Criminals just finished their small little tour around the Motu alongside Morgoth. How was it, man? How are we feeling?
It was super fun. That Wellington show was our first time outside of Auckland. So it was, you know, the first time like having this band in a car driving to a show, and it really felt like, you know, felt like we were a proper band for a little bit, you know. So it was great, and the shows were super fun. You know, we had lots of friendly people come out, and, you know, we played our best, and like, yeah, it was good. It was super good. Morgoth are great. Yeah, like, loved it.
It's awesome, man. That's awesome. I did catch you guys at Bar 605, which was in Morningside. Small little venue.
Tiny, bro. Yeah, not like, you know, it's not really a venue, and I think that's what I love about it, and that's why the show was so fun, because everyone's sort of standing there, like, not really knowing how to behave, you know, because there's, you know, where do you stand so that you're not in the way of, like, the bar, and, like, there's no rules, you know. But that was a super fun show, and it was loud because it's just a big concrete box, you know, and that was great, though. That was, yeah, heaps of fun. Love playing shows like that.
Now, a lot of people would have gotten their introduction to you through the Others Way Festival last December, and you guys absolutely killed it. I unfortunately missed it, and I was actually pretty bummed about that. But what was that experience like for you?
That was cool. That was super cool. I was just excited to see like the name on like a proper festival poster, you know. I think ever since I was like a kid, one of my goals was to be one of like the shit bands on a festival poster, like in the tiny fonts, you know. I'd look at festival posters and be like, I want to be one of those guys, like way down the bottom, like that's that's where you got to be. So it was sick to just see the name like amongst all these other great Kiwi bands and internationals as well. But that was, you know, that was fun. We were on quite early, so like I wouldn't, you know, you can be forgiven for not for not seeing it. Super fun though, like loved that show and loved that festival. Yeah, it was so well put together, and I saw like so much good stuff. Yeah,
that was a really, really good festival. On the note of Kiwi artists though, it is New Zealand Music Month. Real quick, we'll go on a little sidetrack here. Favorite Kiwi artists, any shout outs you want to give?
We'll go one current maybe, and then one heritage.
Okay.
For my heritage, I'd probably say Chris Knox of Toy Love and Tall Dwarves fame, but his very DIY recordings like were a huge inspiration to me, like making music without very much gear or skill. in using the gear. So always sort of looking up to that guy. And current, there's so many.
We're spoiled for choice, yeah.
We're spoiled for choice, man. You know, Office Dog are great. Everyone knows that. Wranglets are great. Everyone knows that. You know. Yeah, there's so many.
It's too many, man.
Yeah, I don't know. What makes a song sad?
One of the things I hear most whenever people talk about Saltwater Criminals is that you're their favorite artist. You are quite literally a musician's musician. In fact, I'd say that, I mean, no pun intended, but you are criminally underrated as an artist. So I'd love to ask you about the inception of Saltwater Criminals and when did you start this project? When did you start writing music?
That's really cool to hear. That's really awesome. The name Saltwater Criminals has been knocking around for a long time for me. It's the name I used when I first started recording music when I was maybe 16 or 17. I didn't know how to record or anything. I just sort of, you know, made it up as I went along, and I wanted to make kind of heavier music, and at the time I didn't know anyone that would want to do that with me, so I did it all myself because that's the only way I was going to be able to do it. And so I would put all this like random stuff that I'd recorded on SoundCloud. I'd just make, there's probably like three albums of absolute bullshit just like floating on there, but I used that name because it sounded like a band, you know, it sounded like a punk band or something. And I didn't necessarily want anyone to know that it wasn't a band. Like, I was keen for people to think that this was like some band that they'd never heard of, you know? So the name has been knocking around for a while, but it wasn't until years later in Dunedin, I had a batch of songs that I thought were, you know, better than all the ones before. And yeah. I was getting a bit better at like being able to realize the sound that was the song that was in my head and making it come out of the speakers, you know? So yeah, it was a few years ago that I was like, okay, I'm going to do this a bit more properly. And I used the same name because it felt fitting.
Yeah. When did you start writing? Have you always loved music?
Been writing like forever. I always loved music, and I think there was never going to be like anything else that I was going to pour my time into. You know, my dad is a great blues guitar player, and so like music was, and guitars were just like always around the house, and so I would gravitate towards the guitars but maybe start playing or start listening to like a different kind of music. And so yeah, I've been writing songs for as long as I can remember, really. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like only in the last couple of years they might be good. I don't know.
Well, they're excellent. And like I said earlier, there's just so much praise for this project of yours. Yeah, I want to talk about influences. I mean, obviously, that I can imagine that music scene down in Dunedin would have been very influential for you. As far as your listenings and what you like to listen to and you know, when you were kind of coming out with your sound, yeah, who were you inspired by?
When I started using the name, as I was saying before, when I was 16 or 17, the kind of music I wanted to make was like hardcore or post-hardcore-y kind of music. So bands like Refused or At The Drive-In, and Glassjaw was my favourite band at the time. Like kind of heavy stuff, but like with some melody over the top. That's where that all started. And I think over the years I've sort of grown more interested in songwriting and like not necessarily just being loud for the sake of being loud, like arranging songs and chord progressions and things like that. So, you know, the more I listened to people like Elliot Smith, like the more my music changed, and you know, The Replacements and bands and writers that really their greatest thing was the craft of their songs, and that was like the most important part of the music. So yeah, I think when I was writing House of Highs, there was lots of Chris Knox, as I mentioned before. That album Seizure that he has, I listen to it like over and over again. What else? Yeah, The Replacements, one of my favorite bands. Yeah, things like that. I don't know. There's so much stuff, you know.
There's just so much stuff.
But yeah, I'd love to. I want to chat about House of Highs. That is such an amazing album. It was your debut album, right?
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, sort of. That. I think of it as the first one, even though there are other ones on SoundCloud, as I mentioned before, that are like kind of. I don't really count them. They're like, you know, practices. I didn't necessarily think I was making an album when I started recording those songs. I think the first songs I had were Temporary and the song called The Adult. And I was just going to do like another EP or something. I wasn't really sure. When I started layering on or piecing those songs together, it felt like a bigger project. And it felt, I was really happy with like the drum sound and like certain things that, it just sort of wanted to be an album. And so I kind of dived in head first and just started writing songs around those two, I think. But, you know, it all comes from a time and place. So, like, the house I was living in at the time in Dunedin, and I was a couple years out of uni. I didn't really know what I was doing work-wise, and I was just sort of, like, drifting a little bit. And so all of those things make that record sound and feel the way that it does, I think. And the songs just sort of, like, you know, slowly just sort of like fell out of me, I guess.
Were there any favorites that you wrote, personal ones within that piece of work that you were like, man, this was just so much fun to write?
I mean, greatest achievement was like that song, like, you know, it didn't exist one day and then it was like finished the next day. Like it happened so quickly. And like, I won't lie, like I knew I was like, this is a pretty special song. Like, I didn't really know how it happened. I don't even really remember doing it that much, to be honest. But that was a special song, and I knew that like, it kind of gave me a real boost to finish the record and like to get people to listen to it. So that was a favorite. There's a song called About Now on that record that is kind of hidden in the back end of it that is one of my favorites. It's really sad, but like it, you know, makes me feel things. But yeah, I mean, you know, there were other songs, but I was pretty brutal with like cutting and making sure that everything that was on there was, you know, earned that spot.
My greatest achievement is the one song that should not be gatekept. I feel I pull it out whenever I can. Whenever there's an opportunity to impress people with music they've never heard before, I just pull out My Greatest Achievement. Works every single time.
That's great. That's great. My greatest achievement.
I feel like we should probably go through your lineup because you have a stacked lineup of musicians that make up your band.
Oh, yeah. I'm so lucky. It's a bit of a revolving door of drummers.
Okay.
When you saw us, it would have been Riley Noonan, who plays in a band called Awning as well. Amazing band. And he was in Wellington for a number of years. And he was just like, if you were going to see a cool band in Wellington, like, Riley was probably playing drums. Like, he was just all over that scene. And Mitch Innes from Office Dog was the first Saltwater drummer, and he's coming back to do a few shows with us. So stoked with those guys. And Louis from Daffodils plays bass, legend. And Damon, also known as Jack Berry, people know him as. He plays guitar, and he's like, he's my homie. And he's, you know, he's done a lot of the artwork for Saltwater, and he's done a lot of the promo, and like, yeah, he's the first guy that hears it, you know, when I'm about to put something out. So yeah, no, I'm pretty lucky. It's a good lineup. It's a real good lineup.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's almost like a super group of musicians. And I mean, the energy you guys bring at gigs, at least the one gig that I saw you guys play at in a small venue, it's like, man, who gives a shit? Just jump around.
yeah, it's fun. It's, you know, the live thing is interesting because it's so far removed from the album and the studio stuff. Like, we could never play it like the record because there's just so many layers and like so many guitar tracks and things. So I think like with the live version of the band, we just sort of strip the songs and to their bare bones, and we just make it like I want it to sound like if At the Drive-In were covering House of Highs and they were like a little bit drunk. Like that's where I want it to be, like a bit of a mess, but like, you know, wicked.
Still wicked, man. Yeah, you guys have just finished your tour. You're on the lineup for Junk, which, holy shit, is
crazy lineup, eh?
Dude, it's insane. You must be super excited to perform alongside so many artists and just, you know, get back on stage too.
Oh, just to like actually be at, just to go to the thing, you know, like, and, and see all of like my favorite local bands. Like, it's, yeah, it's cool. It's going to be sick. I mean, Dale Kerrigan from Dunedin, haven't seen them in a number of years, so that'll be cool. It's like if you're a fan of like any local alternative-y kind of thing, then that's where you have to be.
You have to be there.
You have to be there.
I'd love to ask you about what you're working on next, though. Mm. You're quite a private individual. You keep the doors closed to the public, but I'm sure a lot of people would be wondering what is Saltwater Criminals working on next.
Well, I do keep the doors closed a bit. I'm working on the second album. I don't know, we're probably like 80% done. It's hard to put a number on something like that, but my goal was to get it out in under a year since the last record. You know, because I don't have a label or anything like that, I figured like it might save a lot of time to like not have to deal with other people, you know, just to finish it and then like get it mastered and put it out. I don't quite know if we're gonna make that mark, but that was the idea. But you know, it'll be done soon, and the songs I'm super excited about. A couple of them we've been playing live recently, and I think I was making this record with the idea of thinking more about like playing it live and like performing it, so I think it sounds a little bit more like a band, even though it's still not technically a band. Super excited about it though. It'll be good, I think.
House of Highs. is the reward for living through end.
That was House of Highs by Saltwater Criminals. Big shout out to Ruben for coming on the show. Yeah, good stuff.
Beautiful song, great guy.
Yeah,
great band.
We're just reminiscing down in Dunedin. Three Quarter Marathon was one of the bands that Ruben fronted down there, which was super energetic and lively and cool. Thrash the guitar along with Jack Berry and Theo Bonfield, and yeah, reliving that from the Ruben interview.
If you want to go check them out, they're actually playing at Junk on June 7th, I do believe, and that lineup is absolutely stacked. Tickets from Under the Radar. Make sure you do grab those, because I'm sure it's going to sell out. I haven't grabbed mine. I think
I've
you
got mine.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, pressure on me. Everyone's looking. No, I haven't got mine yet, but I will be going.
These boys will have their tickets.
We will have our tickets.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.